46. What are they burning in Boyle Heights? As always, we are your hosts, Jake Rakitansky,
Liv Agar,
Julian Fields,
and Travis View.
If you live in Los Angeles and you go outside at all, you may have noticed a large billowing smoke cloud looming across the city in June of this year, from around the 17th to the 25th.
Yeah.
LA is a very flammable location, so this fire, while possibly irksome for a few days, probably wasn't too out of the ordinary. But maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it's pretty bad even for us. But yeah, we are used to everything being on fire. You're right.
Yeah. When people are texting each other with screenshots of air quality, you know, and being like, stay out or watch out or here's what's with me, you know, then, you know, things are pretty bad.
When the government starts covering things up, that's when you know things are
pretty
bad.
Yeah.
Being from a very flammable location as well, I can sympathize. Although, again, like usually with Vancouver, it's like something's burning way out in the wilderness, like in a location people barely live. So the idea of something like burning very close to you, like in a suburb, is kind of horrifying.
Yeah, if you look at videos of this fire, it is absolutely insane. It's OLED smoke. And it is literally going over neighborhood houses and apartment buildings that are across the street.
This whole state is essentially an OLED TV showing like the Christmas fire.
But it may have been...
Sorry, we fucked up your flow.
Sorry.
Damn it. God damn it. Once again, sorry, Liv. You can just start wherever and people can forgive us, hopefully.
But it was probably much worse if you resided in the specific neighborhood that the fire was emanating from, Boyle Heights. If so, you've likely been subject to an ongoing series of natural disasters and crises that any religious person would rightfully assume only could have been caused by the wrath of God. Disease, swarms of flies, a toxic stench, a plague of rats, many more. What separated this from a regular old climate crisis-driven wildfire is its point of origin, an 11-acre-wide frozen food warehouse, whose refrigeration capability is quickly disintegrated in the flames. Fortunately, as of recording, approximately 1,500 tons of food waste has already been removed from the facility. Unfortunately, about 42,000 tons of rotting food waste remains, meaning that in about a month of work, the city has removed approximately 3.5% of the rotted food, now polluting one of LA's historic Mexican-American neighborhoods. Mm. Residents are furious at the city's horribly slow response times and lack of compensation from the company running the facility named Lineage, who likely started this mess in the first place. Yet, of course, this would not be a QA episode without baking, and many pilled residents of LA have devised elaborate conspiracy theories to explain the fire, which will be covered later in a segment by Jake. So join us as we dive into the story that feels metaphorically apt for the current state of American society and the ridiculous bakes that have ensued because of it.
Yeah, I'm about to put a fucking sandwich board on and, like, get out. Like, if I was living in Boyle Heights, like, forget it. You would have already lost me to, like, the street throng.
Yeah. No, it's genuinely horrifying. It is just, really American society is just this is a cliche at this point to say because it's so obvious, but there's no one in the driver's seat right now. Like, no. It's no one's running it.
No.
No, everything is running absolutely wild and there's, yeah, nobody really knows what to do.
We're like, this is a self-driving car, right? Right?
Yeah, as it's like 4 feet past the cliff, like Wile E. Coyote style.
Honey, don't worry, it's about to turn around.
You guys live in LA. How is your experience with the fire been?
Well, you look at your phone and you look at the sky and it says bad stuff in both. Mm. And so you read the sky as we have always done and you find out from your phone that like even basic measurements of air quality are telling you it's basically unsafe to be outside and to not be indoors with like some sort of way of, you know, purifying the air, and you stay home. You never leave your house anymore and you sink into a kind of bizarre depression. Outside of time and space, and you start drifting off, and before you know it, you're playing Balatro. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting a little lost.
Or in my case, like you start like moving backwards, like in video games, and start like developing a retro game obsession, like giving yourself more reasons to stay inside and to sort of like devolve yourself.
This feels like it's like the Resident Evil smog. or something. Yeah. No smoke.
Staying in the like video game category, I've been trying to find a game, and it's really hard when you just like don't feel good anyways. And I tried Forza Horizon, and when I saw the mechanic of rewinding that you can do, so it's like, okay, like let's rewind to the last point where the car still looked like it was on a decent trajectory. And I was like, yeah, why don't I have that for my life? Why don't I have that for my fucking life? Because there were a few moments that I could have renegotiated.
I think that they made an Adam Sandler movie about that.
Yeah. Right? Fuck. Things so bad, they're an Adam Sandler movie plot.
And like one that's sad for some reason.
Yeah, hey, yeah. There's an Adam Sandler movie for that.
It's an Adam Sandler movie, and it's not just not funny, it's also really sad.
Yeah, it's like one of the three, it's one of the two sad ones.
Yeah.
Boiling up in Boyle Heights.
The entire story of the Boyle Heights fire really reads like a series of worst-case scenario events. A Rube Goldberg machine of continuous tragedy, initially put into motion by a mysterious ignition in a cold storage warehouse facility on June 17th. The more research I've done into it, the more it feels like the Chernobyl of meat storage facility fires, which, while certainly being less bad than the Chernobyl of nuclear reactors, is certainly not a good thing for something to be. Given these similarities, I've decided to cover this story by providing a brief, month-long timeline of the fire and its fallout.
Yes, perfect.
Picture me today as your frozen meat version of fictional HBO Chernobyl series show character Valery Legasov.
Okay, wow.
For your Chernobyl heads out there.
Somebody just watched Chernobyl and realized it was one of the best TV shows of
all
time.
It's like my fourth time watching it. It's so good. It's so good.
My God.
It's so depressing. Are you depressed right now? It feels good to watch when you're feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, I watched it and I'm like, thank God that I live in a capitalist society that wouldn't deal poorly with public health emergencies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The cause of the initial fire remains unclear. Given how long the facility burned and how large the fire was, it's likely going to be far more difficult than normal for any investigation to ever find a definitive cause. As you've heard before, this fire was very intense, happening across 11 acres of storage facility, lasting for more than a whole week in a densely populated urban area. This is obviously quite unusual, perfect material to bake around if you love conspiracy theories though, but is mainly a product of its location. Cold storage warehouses such as this one have heavily insulated walls to keep all the cool temperature inside. Unfortunately, this insulation also does a very good job of keeping the very hot temperatures in. This is the first of actually many different reasons why the foam insulating this building would prove to be a nightmare for fire crews, but I'll get to those as we come. When firefighters arrived at the initial scene on the first day, the image they saw was billows of smoke emanating from the roof of a massive windowless square facility. Their initial attempts at aggressively treating the roof fire were quickly thwarted, as an ammonium gas leak forced firefighters off of the roof just 15 minutes after the operation began. With the well-insulated walls of the building protecting most of the fire, and noxious gases preventing a safe approach onto the facility, the LAFD, Los Angeles Fire Department, took what they called an unconventional approach.
Though not typically deployed in structure fires due to safety concerns, LAFD helicopters performed water drops to knock down the bulk of the flames.
Again, just very Chernobyl imagery. I promise I'm not shoehorning it in here, but...
Mm-hmm. There was a video somebody posted on TikTok of a helicopter, like one of the water helicopters, disappearing into the mist, like out of the Stephen King novel. It was crazy.
You've been listening to a sample of a premium episode of the QAA podcast. For access to the full episode, as well as all past premium episodes and all of our podcast miniseries, go to patreon.com/QAA. Travis, why is that such a good deal?
Well, Jake, you get hundreds of additional episodes of the QAA podcast for just $5 per month. For that very low price, you get access to over 200 premium episodes, plus all of our miniseries. That includes 10 episodes of Man Clan with Julian and Annie, 10 episodes of Perverts with Julian and Liv, 10 episodes of The Spectral Voyager with Jake and Brad, plus 20 episodes of Trickle Down with me, Travis View. It's a bounty of content and the best deal in podcasting.
Travis, for once, I agree with you. And I also agree that people could subscribe by going to patreon.com/QAA.
Well, that's not an opinion, it's a fact.
You're so right, Jake.
We love and appreciate all of our listeners.
Yes, we do. And Travis is actually crying right now, I think. Out of gratitude, maybe?
That's not true. The part about me crying, not me being grateful. I'm very grateful.